Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anoush Samarodi filling in for Brian Lehrer today, and you're listening to The Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. So, you know, if this cold weather just makes you want to hide your gym bag, crawl back into bed, then maybe what you need is a little motivational boost. But let's not get too positive, okay? Dr. Gabrielle Oettingen is a psychology professor at New York University and at the University of Hamburg, and she's the author of the new book, Rethinking Positive Thinking, Inside the New Science of Motivation. Dr. Oettingen, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Now, why should we be rethinking positive thinking? Isn't that the American way? Stay positive.
Well, stay positive is generally a good idea, but you want to see it a little bit more differentiated, because staying positive is good for some things, in some situations, for some people, but it's not always good.
Can you give us some examples of when positive thinking is actually maybe working against you?
Well, you know, we found that when people positively dream about the future and they kind of imagine the best of the future and they stay kind of being immersed in these positive future daydreams and fantasies, then they feel really good at the moment. But they also feel so relaxed that they actually don't go ahead and actually realize these positive fantasies.
So you're saying that they feel so sure that something wonderful is going to happen because they are thinking positively that they don't actually take the steps to make it come true.
That's exactly right. So it is pleasurable at the moment, but then you already think you're there, or you feel you're already there. That relaxes you, and you oversee that there are challenges on the way, that there are obstacles on the way, that there are temptations on the way, and therefore you don't prepare. So if you really want to get there, then you better instill a clear sense of reality into your positive thoughts and images about the future, because then you're prepared for these challenges.
Now, you say one of the ways to do that is you coin the phrase WOOP in your book, W-O-O-P. It sounds like fun. What does it stand for?
Right. WOOP stands for wish, outcome, obstacle, plan. And we have researched in the past 20 years that sheer positive thinking about the future, sheer dreaming about the future actually hinders you. It does not only help, but it hinders you to actually get that future. So, for example, if you had positively fantasized women who are enrolled in a weight reduction program, the more positively they fantasized, the less weight they lost.
Well, that's amazing. You just said that the people who said, you know what, I know I'm going to lose this weight, they lost less weight than the people who were sort of more realistic about it, or maybe who were kind of a downer about losing weight?
Well, that's not quite right. So who dreamt about the future, who were kind of immersed in these positive fantasies, these were the women who were losing less weight. Those who justifiably from their past experience could expect that they lose weight, they actually did well. So what is a little bit tricky is that you need to kind of juxtapose your dreams about the future with a clear sense of reality. And that's, you need to identify a wish. That's the first letter in WOOP. And then you need to identify the best outcome of that wish. And you dream about that wish. But then instead of keep dreaming, you juxtapose these dreams with the inner obstacle, the obstacle in you that holds you back from realizing these dreams. And if you do that, then it's getting very clear what you need to do in order to cope with that obstacle, to deal with that obstacle, to overcome that obstacle. And if the obstacle is too big, then you can say, well, this is not what belongs to me. This is not what I want to do at the moment. You either delegate or let go. So WOO, wish, outcome, obstacle, is a method of prioritization of your project. So you go for what you really love, what you really think is yours, and you let go from these things which are lingering and which are in your way to get the resources free to actually engage in more productive and more promising enterprises. And then when you add another letter, which is the P, then you can say, if obstacle, then I will, and then you put in the behavior to overcome that obstacle. So that's an additional plan to overcome that obstacle. So that's then wish, outcome, obstacle, plan. And I talk in my book about WHOOP, and you can also find more information on the website called whoopmylife.org.
Okay, so listeners, if you have a wish that you would like to put through the professor's algorithm, the WHOOP method, give us a call. We have a psychologist here, Dr. Oettingen, who can help you sort of make that wish potentially come true. Call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. I mean, doctor, I have to ask you, I wonder if part of this is cultural. You are German. My mother is German. There is no way that we would ever speak as optimistically as a lot of Americans do. And in fact, you know, I lived in Germany. No one would ever talk like, we're going to make it. We're going to be number one. No one talks like that. Is this an American thing? Is that what you think?
Well, you know, I came relatively late in my life to the United States, and I enjoyed the positive thinking, and I still do. And I really believe and find in our research that the first step is really, you really want to identify the wish that is important to you, that is dear to you. You want to see, what do I really want? Mm. What is it in my life that I really want? What is it for the next week that I really want? What is it for the next 24 hours that I really want? What is it that I want? Not what everybody else is saying. What do I want for today? And that is the first part, and that is the most important part, and that's similar in Germany and similar in the United States. When people understand what they really wish, then they can find direction in their acting. And once they then identify the obstacle in them, what holds them back, what stops them from actually achieving that wish, then they can find the energy to actually going in the direction they feel is really theirs.
Okay, I want to workshop this with some listeners. I know the calls are coming in, but I want to just try one. Let's say, you know, we know that the holiday season is coming up and someone is determined not to put on weight. They've joined the local gym, but they can't seem to either like kick the buffet habit, or maybe they just can't drag themselves to get on the treadmill. If they apply WHOOP, just sort of spell it out for me. How would this work out? Their wish is to not gain weight over the holiday season. What happens next?
So you would, for example, say, my wish for Thanksgiving is I would eat as much as I feel makes me still feel kind of good. Not too much, so that I then later on sink in the sofa. Right. Just, you know, just a little bit of everything. Let's say you would have that wish. Then you would say, now what would be the best outcome if I was, after Thanksgiving, in the evening, I felt really light and good, but I tried little things. Now what would be the best outcome? And then you would say, no, what is your best outcome? Now, I would say, I would feel happy, I would feel proud that I did it, I would feel kind of lean, I would feel prepared for the next day. One thing, one best outcome. And I can't say, because you need to say, the person who has the wish needs to say, what is the best outcome? What is the best outcome of fulfilling that wish? And then you imagine that best outcome. And once you did that, then you say, actually, what is it that stops me from doing that? What is it in me that stops me from doing that? And then people would identify, what is it actually in them? Not an excuse, the real thing. What is it in you? So one would, for example, say that, you know, you feel kind of compelled by others to actually eat more. And then once you identify it, your obstacle. So maybe, you know, being tempted by the cranberry sauce or being kind of habitually stuffing
yourself
on things. Try the pie. Or being kind of habitual on Thanksgiving, you need to stuff yourself. Now, find your own obstacle, and then you will see what you can do. What you can do is you just say yourself, okay, one spoon and stop. And then you go into your plan and say, you know, if I feel compelled to eat so much on Thanksgiving, or I feel compelled to eat the cranberry sauce, then I will one spoon and that's it.
Okay. All right. So let's work through a wish here. I'd love to talk to Jennifer, who is calling from Montclair, New Jersey. Hi, Jennifer. You're on the line with me and Dr. Oettingen. Can you tell us what your wish is, and we can see if we can work with you to...
Okay. Yeah. Traditionally, throughout my life, I'm just not a good tester, if you will. I have two masters, but that's not like doing tests, you know, fill in the bubble and, you know, whatever.
So what's your wish then, Jennifer?
I would like to pass the real estate exam that I keep reading each day about, and it stays with me for X amount of time. And then when I take the test at the end, sometimes I'm like, I don't remember reading that, you know, and I'm feeling very anxious because I'll be taking the test in December, next month, actually. And I'm feeling anxious about that because it's important that I pass that test.
All right. What do you think, Dr. Oettingen?
Okay. So your wish is what?
To pass the real estate exam, and she's going to be taking it next month. Okay. She's feeling very anxious, understandably.
Well, what would your best outcome be, Jennifer? What would be the best thing if you passed the test?
Oh, the best thing will be that I would be able to make the money that I need at this particular time in my life.
Okay, perfect. So if you did a formal whoop, you would need to imagine that now, but we don't have the time now, but... I tell you, what is it in you that stands in the way? You already said that beforehand. What is it in you that stands in the way of passing that test?
Anxiety.
Anxiety, exactly. So it's the anxiety. So you would, if you did a formal whoop, you would need to imagine feeling really, really anxious.
No, I don't have to imagine that. I feel it.
Okay, what can you do to overcome your anxiety?
I read each day, and then I try different times of the day. I just try to make sure that whatever it is that I'm supposed to know, I'm exposed to it multiple times.
But what about attacking the anxiety head on? I'm not a psychologist, Jennifer, but I like to play one on the radio. What about like doing yoga or breathing or even imagining yourself taking the test with no anxiety? Because I also get a lot of anxiety.
Okay.
Am I off base here?
No, you're not off base. You need to sort of find something, and you will find something. And if it is that you remind yourself that you coped with lots of situations in your life where you conquered your anxiety really well. So find a behavior or a thought you could think where you could overcome your anxiety. And once you find that, and you will find that, then you say to yourself, now, if I feel anxious, then I will. And then you put in your behavior to overcome the anxiety.
What could that be? You could remind yourself that you have two master's degrees and you are obviously one smart cookie.
In some areas, yes, I would say, I am. In other areas, you know, which are maybe more, my math part of my brain has, you know, I feel this inside that there's, you know, it's a little dysfunction there. I'm a language person, but when you make things concrete, like it's either this or it's that, then I'm like, well, it could be this, but maybe it's that. And then there's that. That's where I start looping things around in circles, and then I don't know if it's this or that.
Okay, then you just get right to your questions. You don't think about whether it's this or that or the other thing. You just go right to your questions. So you say to yourself, if I feel anxiety, then I will immediately go to the questions and answer them.
So, you know, Jennifer, thank you so much for letting us workshop you. And I'm curious, you know, Jennifer mentioned something there that she felt, and she wasn't sure, that her biology had something to do with her anxiety. And I'm curious about how your background in biology translated into the science of motivation.
Well, I was always interested in behavior change and in the biology of behavior change. And when I then discovered that psychologists can actually have their own ideas and then kind of experimentally test them, I was very kind of taken by psychology. So how did it translate? By looking at behavior change, by looking at motivation, and sort of understanding why people do what they do. And when you look at WHOOP, for example, then you see that what our experiments show is that this little four-step process, wish, outcome, obstacle, plan, that this conscious imagery procedure has effects on our non-conscious cognition and motivation, meaning on the cognition and the motivation outside of awareness. We don't realize that if we do this procedure, then things will change, our cognition will change outside of awareness, and these effects then will mediate the behavior change. And that's the reason why WHOOP is so intriguing, because we actually do behavior change, or we achieve the behavior change by processes which are outside of our awareness.
Dr. Oettingen, thank you so much for coming into the studio today. Her new book is Rethinking Positive Thinking Inside the New Science of Motivation. It's available in stores and online now. Thank you so much again, Doctor.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Anusha Marodi. You're listening to The Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. When we come back, the brain in Times Square. Just a minute.